Scott. This is Jesse calling again. Listen, man, I'm surrounded. I'm trying to attack them. They just won't stop, Scott. I won't be calling again. I'm not going to make it, Scott. God bless. I love you, boo.
This is the Boop Show for January 8th, 2015. Gaming news you can use. I'm Scott Johnson. Did anything happen at CES this year that gamers care about? I don't freaking think so. Nina, new, new. Yeah. I mean, all we really got out of that event was the Sony announcement about when they were launching PlayStation Now and kind of things we already knew about Oculus Rift and some other things, and it wasn't very gamey. Yeah, that's right, I said it. CES this year was not very gamey. If you grab my meaning. I mean, I do look forward to it in some ways, because this used to be where all that happened. If you remember, if you can go far enough back in your mind, CES birthed E3, because E3, when it wasn't a thing, would basically happen at CES. That's where all these companies would go, and at some point in 1995, was it? Somebody said, you know, we really could do this on our own and have gaming be its own big deal. So that's what they did. No more having it all part of the big giant cesspool. CES pool, get it? Get it? I made a little joke there at the expense of CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. Anyway, just been thinking about that a little bit this week, hoping or wishing there might be more there. And I know there's some stuff, but it's all pretty minor. It's mostly TVs, wearables, home automation. What else? That's really it. Those are the big focuses. Cars, how they connect to your devices. The Internet of Things, which I'm not going to explain here. You should look that up. We talked about it on the morning show. It's worth understanding, digging into, and exploring. It's an interesting thing, though. This week was weird because, for whatever reason, it hit me kind of all at once like a shotgun blast. How Let's Play videos have taken over internet entertainment in such a huge way. There was some numbers released saying that more people are interested in watching videos about Minecraft than they are brand new music videos from huge mega pop stars. And while that didn't surprise me so much, because I kind of think that's been happening for a while, it did make me think about the phenomenon itself and how insane it would be if any one of these companies, we've seen Nintendo rattle their saber a little bit in this way, but if any one of these game companies decided to put their foot down and say, sorry, copyright infringement, you can't have a bunch of video, audio, and gameplay of our game on your channel and make money from it. Or maybe even at all. Now, none of them have done this. Nintendo did a little bit, but none of them have really done this. Why? Because it's a PR nightmare. They would have, you know, what amounts to a huge problem, both PR-wise, and they'd get DDoSed, and they would get script kiddies? The script kiddies would go after them. It'd be real bad. And I think they know that. But, you know, a lot of people are making, in some cases, big livings off of playing their games for free. Now, the argument has been made, and I agree with, that the Uplay videos give greater exposure to the games and people go and they buy the game. So I think it does pay off in huge, huge ways for these companies to not put their foot down and try to exercise weird lawsuit-y whatever stuff. Oh, my phone's ringing. I can't answer that. So, man, what if they did, though? Like, what if they all joined forces? Let's say big console manufacturers and all the big developers and all the big publishers, you know, let's say Activision, EA, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, and everyone agreed together, kind of a joint industry task force to say, we are going to shut it down, boys. No more making money and generating traffic based on our properties. From now on, we control that. We control what the people see. Can you just imagine what would happen? And they could do it. They actually have grounds to do it. That's why it's a scary thing to me, is they could do it. They could say to PewDiePie, put your PewDiePie bros away, buddy, because no more video games for you. They could do it. And some independents might still let him, but if you imagine the big stuff just said stop, oh, it'd be seismic. And they kind of have the legal standing to do it, don't they? They choose not to exercise that. I guess we can keep hoping they don't. Anyway, food for thought. Think about it. What would you do? I have some news. I don't know if it's good news or bad news or something in the middle, but Tony Hawk has announced a new PS4 game. Specifically that platform, which I think is a little bit weird, but whatever. He appeared during Sony's keynote at the CES show that we were just talking about. So I guess this is mother stuff that happened at CES. But anyway, I got up there in Vegas and said that there is a project, a Tony Hawk branded skater project. Well, one assumes skater, right? Like this isn't going to be like a roller coaster kite tycoon competitor or something. They're not trying to make another RPG. Anyway, no other real information was given about the game itself, but it does confirm that he, what some have said before, that he'd begun work on the console last year, that is to say 2014. And he said fans of Tony Hawk Pro Skater series will be hyped. And I suppose multi-platform release is still possible, but Sony used the opportunity to have him up there doing his thing. If this is all the case, then this will be Tony Hawk's ninth title. Does that sound about right? Actually, the last one was the ninth title. So this would be the 10th title. Ooh, there's opportunities there with branding. I guess the last one was Tony Hawk's Proving Ground, which came out in 07. Jeez. Really? Has it been that long? Was that the one with the... Which one came with the weird board thing? Oh, my brain is fuzzy on this. But yeah, it's been... Apparently, it's been ages.
And this is for the Boop Show. God, I lost my voice. I can't even talk.
All right, well, you should... you gotta get that looked at, dude. Go have a... It's a time of the year. People are catching weird stuff. Go get that looked at. Ear, nose, and throat guy will take care of you. Not a problem. Smite Xbox One beta registration has been opened. They've invited everybody in there. Third-person battle arena, a.k.a. MOBA. I've played it. It's PC version's great. Good fun. Hi-Rez Studios announced plans to do the beta in early 2015 is what they've said. Now you get a firm date, March 2014, well, at least a firm month. It's free to play, and, oh no, that's wrong. I'm sorry, the game was originally launched 2014 of last year. I gotta get my years straight. This 2014-2015 transition has been hard for me for some reason, and it's not just writing the wrong date down on checks, although I've done that too. Yeah, that's right, I still have checks, occasionally. Anyway, get Smite. Smite's coming soon. Nyko, the little peripheral maker, I knew them mostly for like Game Boy peripherals back in the day. They have unveiled, I suppose, Data Bank. It's a hard drive upgrade for the PlayStation 4, something a lot of people do just by cracking that thing open and putting one in there. I guess this is for those who don't want to tread, or they want to tread lightly on such ideas. They're calling it Data Bank. They showed it at CES, and they are promising this gives users, quote, cheap and easy ways to upgrade their PlayStation 4 storage capacity, and it uses a 3.5-inch standard desktop computer hard drive. I think the one in the PS4 is a 2.5, though, isn't it? Like a notebook style? Anyway, if you're running short on space, then look no further than this thing. 2.5-inch drives are super cheap. They're a little more than 3.5-inch, but if you can just crack that thing open and do it yourself and follow some simple instructions, I'm not sure why you'd want this. I guess this is for those who don't want to do that, which I guess I understand. Ooh, speaking of PSN.
Hey, Scott, Dobie here from Virginia. I called in before. I had a big question about PlayStation Network. I've been a big fan, had PlayStation for a while, and as I go get my boy a Vita, He has a sub account under me, so everything in PlayStation Plus that I always download, all the games that I pseudo-purchase, he's able to play under his account. Now, with the Vita, I'm told by Sony that he has to have his own PlayStation Plus account to use unless he wants to play all his games under me. Is this a misunderstanding? Is there something that I can do to bypass this? Or is this just an unfortunate problem to have when you have two different systems by the same manufacturer? Thanks.
Okay, so the way this is different with, say, Apple and an iPad and an iPhone, as an example, their method to the madness is that if you purchase a game, and this doesn't even account for family sharing, so let's forget about family sharing right now. We just say, all right, you purchase a game on the iPad or on your iPhone, and your kid has an iPad, and they now can go download that same game for free if they are using your account on the iPad, and vice versa. And that works out really well. It's what we do around here. Nobody cares about having their own account. They just get to either buy, we either buy things on my account or they bar, you know, they play stuff I've already purchased. With PlayStation stuff, it's not that different, except that there's a lot of cross-save stuff going on. It's more directly game machine focused, both those devices, your PS4, PS3, and Vita. And so for you to play, I don't know, Spelunky on your PS4 and then want to cross save that data so your progress is moved to the Vita, I think that all happens automatically. He is going to, on his Vita, if he's using your account, he's going to be stuck with your save. And any changes he makes, deleting saves, whatever, that is all going to be reflected on the console side. So that's the one big downside of looking at it that way. I mean, the difference on the iPad and the iPhone is different too because they're both core iOS devices. The Vita and the PS4 are not the same hardware at all. They just have a lot of cross-play and cross-compatibility with saves and cloud data. But in the end of the day, or at the end of the day, they're the same. They're different games. So, yeah, you're kind of stuck. The only way around it is to log into a separate PSN account that is his, but he'll have to make all his own purchases there. So there is an advantage for him staying on your account. The disadvantage is that you've got a lot of shared cloud data that you may have to turn off or fiddle with manually or whatever. But yeah, it's kind of, that's kind of a stinker. You're not where you're at with this and what your understanding of it is just about right. So good luck with that. That sucks. Dota 2 championships are returning to Seattle on August 13th. I watched a lot of this last year and enjoyed it. We've got a brief blog update where the Valve folks are detailing what's happening. They get this annual championship tournament, better known as the International, and it will be held in Seattle again this year. The 3rd through 8th are the dates. Tickets aren't on sale yet, but don't worry. They'll be up there soon. They say keep an eye on the Valve blog for more. And if you're trying to compete in that International, you have to wait. Look, says right here, you have to wait until May 1st to receive either an official invitation or heartbreak. If you're good enough, they will invite you. You can't apply. So you just have to wait and see whether you're good enough or not. Sounds like high school for me. Monument Valley's devs have come out with some really interesting information. Usually these companies don't necessarily throw out data, but they are the makers of Monument Valley, of course, and it did really well on iOS and is now on Android. And they've got enough data to now say that 5% only of Android players paid to play the game. Now, this is not a free-to-play game. So this doesn't mean, oh, they did microtransactions. No, no, no. This means that a mere 5% of the total people who play that game on Android actually purchased the title. Everyone else pirated it, which is kind of a problem. Very small number of those were paid. Now, some of that was Monument Valley being free on the Amazon store for a while, so I assume they're accounting for that, some of that stuff. But there were also some free days and things like that on iOS, but even then, with the numbers all kind of sussing out, 40% of the installs of the game on iOS were actually paid for. So, I mean, piracy's not like really a new problem on Android. And some devs have complained louder than others. In a lot of cases, these are free-to-play games anyway, and it doesn't matter. In fact, if anything, those ensure that if people do spend money, they have to do it through their system. You can't pirate, you know, the currencies and the gold and the speed ups and all the little power ups you can buy in these free to play games. But in a game that is designed to be a standalone, buy it once and never pay for it again game, it's kind of sad to hear that that much piracy is happening. I mean, 5%, that's not a good return on your work for them or anybody. I mean, it was incredibly successful on iOS. I just think 5% is not very successful on another platform. It doesn't mean a lot of people didn't play it. It just means a lot of people are getting around. Are there, I mean, what do Android users feel about this? Are you guys pissed? Are you guys, I don't know where you're at with the piracy situation. Is it so easy that just anybody does it and so they do? Does Google care about that? Maybe they don't care. I don't know. It seems bad to me. But then again, I don't know. PCs have always provided a way to pirate things, and there's still a huge amount of piracy on PCs. Yet, but then again, things like Steam are kind of kicking it. I don't know, man. I don't do Android, so I need to know. Call in, email, something.
Hey, this is for Scott. All right, let me try this again. That song that you played on episode 40 on Monday, that's totally from Donkey Kong Country for the Super Nintendo, first one. And I'm pretty dang sure that it's in the second zone, like one of those temple levels, like Mayhem something. But that's a really cool song. I love that remix. Thanks for all you do, Scott. Bye.
This is the one. Let's skip ahead a little bit. Yeah, that's the one. And you're right. I did some additional looking around and got a ton more emails all saying the same thing, that was from Donkey Kong Country. A game I didn't play very much of, sad to say. Although I am very interested in that 3DS and is there a Wii U version this year? Oh, you guys, I didn't tell you. I'll tell you later. I have something to tell you. Something I'm kind of excited about. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot to tell you this. Assassin's Creed movie's now set for December 2016. So we got that going on. You excited? Hollywood Reporter is reporting the latest Fox release forecast, which includes Assassin's Creed. That will be slated for December 21st, 2016. That is a week after the first Star Wars spinoff movie. So not this year's movie, but next year's spinoff movie, the one that Gary Whitta is penning. And yeah, that's kind of a delay. This is originally supposed to be back in, what, 2011? I wonder what they're going to do now. Is this all still Ezio? I know Michael Fassbender's been tapped. He's in it. But which dude is he? I hope he's not the guy in the future. I don't like that part of those games. So Ezio would be fine with me. Is that what we're all hoping? I think that's what I'm hoping. PS4 sales have surpassed 18.5 million. This all following the holiday boom. That's according to, again, CES stage presentation by Sony, where they talk some PlayStation stuff. And, yeah, that's pretty good, I think. 4.1 million units shifted worldwide on November, or since November 23rd, 2014. And these are numbers based on sold to consumers, not retail shipments, which is important to distinguish, or at least they want you to know that, because presumably there'd be more than that. The PS3 shipped 10.5 million units within a similar time frame, and the PS2's 10.6 million units in their perspective holiday seasons. So that seems pretty good for Sony. Still loving my PS4. Not loving their outage issues are still bugging me. They're still nipping at my heels and pissing me off. But yeah, what are you going to do?
Hey, Scott, this is Chris from Pittsburgh. Called a couple times before. Your recent Boop Show talking about Destiny, I just wanted to let you in on a little thing that I've noticed. I have a teacher, and kids in like middle school, 6th, 7th, 8th, and, you know, 9th, 10th, 11th, all they talk about is Destiny. Every day all I hear about is Destiny and how great it is. I played it. I thought it was kind of boring, but I also like games like Diablo. These kids don't never really heard of Diablo, and they really, World of Warcraft is something, you know, their older brothers or their dads play. So this kind of loot grindy, this is for a lot of them, this kind of loot grindy kind of idea of, you know, replayability and stuff, even though I don't think Destiny has that, it's their first kind of foray into that. So they really are into that point of it. You know, And I use it as a way to say, well, you should try Diablo, or you should try to play all those other kind of action RPGs or World of Warcraft and that kind of stuff. But a lot of them don't have the income to pay for World of Warcraft. Anyway, love the show. Thanks a lot. Boop.
All right. I agree. It's good to hear from somebody who deals with kids every day to see that changing. And I've seen it with my kids and their friends, and it's all Minecraft and, you know, things like Destiny, something they can just play and not pay monthly for and things like that. Yeah, they're absolutely. This is all very true. I also just think that RPGs, action RPGs like Diablo and other stuff, loot games are kind of on the wane, which I don't, not on the wane generally. I think everybody in our bracket want to keep playing that stuff, and I certainly do. But I think that there's a generation of kids coming up who are building things in Minecraft, and when they're playing something structured like Destiny, it's science fiction, action-y based stuff that just is keeping them away from RPGs, which are already kind of hard to put toward a kid and have him be excited about if he doesn't understand them or have an appreciation for them. I mean, it really took me almost like early 90s for me to start to appreciate a good RPG. Because up to that point, I was like, nah, man, RTSs and first-person shooters, that's the life for me. But yeah, you build that appreciation later on. Maybe that's good. Maybe Destiny will be the thing they look back on when they get to be adults and say, ah, that's what started me in RPGs and now I love them or something. I don't know. Kids are weird. Hey, guess what I know? Kids are weird. Razer Forge TV is an Android micro console that was announced at CES, and it can stream games to your PC, from your PC, I should say, not to. So they have announced these plans. There were some rumors about this because they'd already sort of let a few things leak at Google I.O. last year. But they didn't say much else. So at this year's CES, company's finally ready to share some details about this micro console. It's got apps, living room focused keyboard and a mouse solution, support for streaming your games from your PC. Razer Forge TV, as it's being called, is trying to get into that space. That stream your PC kind of space. Android-based thingamabob. Man, Razer, man, those guys, they're making stuff out of everything. Like, what, they're like the, I said this on Twitter, they're like the Kirkland brand of of hardware makers. They used to be mice, like high performance, like gamer mice, and now they're just everywhere doing everything, trying to get into all kinds of markets. It's impressive. They have notebooks and, you know, gaming rigs, and they have all kinds of stuff. So anyway, good luck to them. I don't know how I feel about this stuff yet. Nobody's really been able to convince me yet that there's a good way to do this whole streaming thing. I know the tech is there. I know we can do it, but I don't know. There's just issues. Steam and Valve kind of went quiet on Steam boxes, and I don't know what they're doing now. They were all gung-ho there for a minute, and then they kind of went poof, and I don't know what that means. Did they give up? Are they coming back? What are they doing?
Hi, Scott. It's Felicia. And no, not Felicia Day. I was just wondering, what was the very first pre-ordered game that you ever did? Mine, and I'm a little sad, and I think you can feel my pain on this. My first and only pre-order was Dragon Age 2. So, yeah. Thank you for the show.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that. for me, it's also the same. It's the first time I pre-ordered anything game-related. And it was a Dreamcast at a Software Etc. before those got gobbled up and bought and turned into more GameStops. I pre-ordered that there along with a copy of, Soul Calibur. There you go, Scott. I almost said Battle Arena Toshinden. That was my PS1. Soul Calibur, the first one, which was a hot deal, and I was afraid they were going to run out. So I pre-ordered the console and that, and I picked them both up at 6 a.m. when them all opened their doors and let us in to go grab those. And I'm glad I did, because they ran out quick and a lot of people didn't get that game that day where I lived, and that game was awesome and easily the best launch title on the device. So yeah, man, that was a good day. I took work off. I stayed home all day. I played games all day. Bought like 4 games. NFL 2K. What else? Soul Calibur. And what else did I get? The boxing one. You guys remember the boxing one? It's like big-headed goofy guy boxing. What was that called? It wasn't very good, but we all thought it was, and it looked really neat. and there was one other that I can't remember what I got. One other launch title. But anyway, yeah, fond memories of that, my Dreamcast, that whole time. Man, Dreamcast was cool. It's really too bad that all went away, isn't it? As always, you can share your thoughts and feelings and phone calls and emails with us at the following locations. You can call us 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. And that works in or outside the United States of this America. You can also email us your attachments and or emails to boopshow@gmail.com. I would like to throw out a big, huge thanks to Zach G. And I don't want to get too detailed here and tell you why or what or whatever, but Zach G is directly responsible for me finally getting a Nintendo Wii U in a couple of days. And I am extremely grateful to Zach G, which is not only a cool name, but sounds like he's a rapper. He's got sick rhymes to throw down. Yo. Anyway, big thanks to him because I'll be having a Wii U soon. And I'm very excited. Getting the bundle with Super Mario Land or 3D Land deal, a game I really wanted to play last year and just never caved. I know Mario Kart's great. I know there's other stuff to get, but I'm starting there and stoked to get deep into a new Mario game. Still, that's where my love is, man. It's where all my love goes. Good Mario games. Got an email here from Brian, the Friendly Giant, who says, "Hey, Scott. Took me a couple of minutes, but I do recognize the original track that remix was made from. It's from the Donkey Kong soundtrack, and it's called Fear Factory." So there's your actual name. Anyway, the remix is pretty rad, I have to admit. Keep more boop coming, he says. James D. White wrote in, says, "First, Raccoon City Dog Catcher is brilliant." Well, he's Raccoon Dog Catcher, because he's getting raccoon dogs. That's important. And I agree. We love his updates, although I'm scared for him, but I love hearing back from him. He goes on to say, "Second, Epiphany, you talked to Carter over your shoulder a couple of times in the most recent episodes. I don't mean this in a bad way, but I prefer my Scott Johnson bouncing off other people. Carter should be on your boop show and be a co-host." Would she? That would be awesome, James White says. Well, probably not, but if she's around, I don't mind yelling at her here and there. You know, this show from the beginning was designed to be a solo show. That's what it was meant to be. So Boop will never, it may have interviews here and there and talk to people and stuff, but it's never going to be, you know, a panel show. That's the entire point of it. And most of you, many, many of you sent him feedback saying you love that. So I'm very happy with where we're at. The numbers are growing. Everything's going good. But yeah, don't expect any regular co-hosts anytime soon. However, Carter's around, or there's some reason to bring one of my kids in for some kind of commentary, well, hot damn, we'll get on that. Daniel Harris says in a final email today, "Hello, Scott. I want you to know that I, too, bought the Jackbox collection, and I loved playing it with my friends over the holidays. I wanted to let you know that if you start up Lie Swatter," that's the one where you have up to 100 people, "it tells you you can stream it over, it tells you you can stream it over Twitch and let your Twitch viewers join in. Maybe this solves the no online multiplayer issue. Love all your shows. Thank you, Daniel." Well, I've heard others talk about this. The only complaint I've heard is that the delay on the stream is kind of bad on Twitch, and so you kind of have a hard time keeping up. However, when the questions change and you have new options to answer new things, your phone is being updated a lot earlier than your stream would be. So you can still play. It's just a little discombobulated because you're listening to old audio and video, but your phone is in the future, if that makes sense. But I may try it. If I do, I'll let you guys know, and we'll do like a little live stream or something. That's it. That's your emails. Keep those coming, man. We'd love that stuff. Don't stop. Don't ever stop. Don't go stopping. Okay, we're going to get out of here now. I want to thank everybody for listening. Frogpants.com/boop is our address. All our stuff's there. Subscription info. If you like Stitcher and you're thinking, "I'd like to have the show on Stitcher," well, there's a link for that. There's a link for everything. Go check it out. Frogpants.com/boop. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. 801-471-0462 is our phone number, and @boopshow on Twitter if you want to follow us there. You can follow me @ScottJohnson if you like as well. And keep your support coming at patreon.com/frogpants. It helps keep shows like The Boop Show even happening at all. It means a huge amount to me when I get support over there. So thank you guys so much for doing that. Those who have and those who haven't, head on over. It's easy, it's simple, and it's cheap. All right, it's going to do it. I'm going to leave you now with another song. This is the Super Mario Brothers 3 Pipes OC remix. Comes from Super Mario Brothers 3. It is rocking. As you might imagine, it's kind of the underworld theme. But it's done in a way that is going to blow your mind. So I'm going to play that now as we leave the show. There's some more segments coming up next. So after that, hang around. Otherwise, I will see you guys on Monday for a brand new episode of The Boop Show. Bye now.
Welcome to Blair's App Review. I'm Blair Canfield, and this week's app, Knights of the Old Republic. KOTOR is available on both iOS and Android devices. iOS users will pay $10, where Android users can pick it up for $5. Knights of the Old Republic takes place 4,000 years before Darth Vader and the Emperor's reign on the galaxy. Two new Sith Lords have decided that they'll take a shot at controlling the universe. As the main character, your job is to choose which side of this war you're going to serve on. KOTOR is a role-playing game based off the classic Dungeons & Dragons format. In the beginning, players choose from one of three classes, which you later develop into one of three Jedi subclasses. Besides classes, characters are defined by skills and feats, and all of these are leveled up based off of experience points. The combat in this game is round-based and played out in real time, though at any point during the fighting, you may pause the game and micromanage your characters. You don't just fight by yourself, though. For the most part, you have two companions fighting alongside of you. They can either be controlled manually during the fighting, or you can just let them go on autopilot. This game is all about making choices. The choices you make determine your alignment with the Force. Feeling the need to crush the man who just called your mother a Bantha may gain you some dark side points, while avoiding conflict and helping others will gain you light side points. Being aligned to either side of the Force will affect your dialogue, actions, and even endgame content. KOTOR was one of my favorite games on the original Xbox, and the foam port is just as amazing. I would give Knights of the Old Republic 9 Pazak cards out of 10. Feel free to tell me what you think or tell me a game you think I should review by contacting me on Twitter, at FlareCam. The music for this segment can be found on YouTube under the name Star Wars Cantina Band, Noise Tank Remix. That's all I have for you today. Until next time, I'm Blair Canfield. Happy gaming! Boop!
Welcome to your weekly esports update for the week of January 4th. I'm your host, Waffle Starcraft. Let's get into the news. In Dota 2 news, the playoffs for the Ukrainian Star Ladder Season 11 are underway and will come to a thrilling conclusion on Sunday, January 11th. IMBTV's iLeague is about to enter its grand finals with a rematch between LGD Gaming and Hyper Glory Team, who originally met at the semifinals, resulting in LGD taking two games over Hyper Glory Team and knocking them down to the loser's bracket. For you League of Legends fans out there, the new season of LCS kicks off at the end of the month for all regions. Legends Championship Series, or LCS for North America, will begin January 22nd and will include Evil Geniuses, Cloud9, and Team Liquid for the spring season. LCS Europe does not have a kickoff date quite yet, but what we do know is that it will be in Europe and will include, among seven others, teams Alliance, Copenhagen Wolves, and SK Gaming. For the StarCraft II fans in the audience, Pro League in Korea is underway and going strong. Season 1 kicked off in late December and is now entering the midpoint for Round 1. Teams include SK Telecom, Samsung Galaxy Con, KT Rolster, and Jin Air Greenwings. Playoffs for Round 1 will begin February 9th. Blizzard's World Championship Series officially began on Wednesday, January 6th with Korea's GSL Round of 32. Joining it this week will be WCSEU and NA with their qualifiers, also in Round of 32 format. For Counter-Strike players, the MLG Aspen Invitational will be taking place January 28th to February 1st. Teams include Cloud9, Ninjas in Pajamas, and Fnatic. And for pretty much every other esport, Intel Extreme Masters Season 9 Taipei will be taking place January 28th through February 1st. This has been your weekly esports wrap-up. To leave feedback or questions for the segment, follow me on Twitter at WaffleStarCraft. Links to all leagues and tournaments mentioned can be found at StarCraftShow.com.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.